Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Did anyone receive healing during worship? If you need healing in your body and you didn't receive it during worship, find me or Bob after the service while the other folks are eating. We'll lay hands on whatever you need and believe the Lord will change it. Okay, so we're in the middle of our Bible reading challenge. I had forgotten it was a challenge. I'm challenging you. You guys aren't going to, you know, wimp out or anything, are you? All right, Bible reading challenge. This month in February, we're reading Philippians to 1 Timothy. I got to wait in my dentist's office for quite some time this week, so I got to catch up. So consider yourself challenged. It's a self-paced study. Read as much or as little as you want each day. The online Bible study is now Thursdays at 8. What day is it?
Thursdays
at 8. Zoom ID 869-3414-4657. Thursday at 8. So Thursday just before 8, get yourself a snack, get your Bible. You're at home. You should have your Bible at home. And log on and enjoy that Bible study. Today, you may have smelled some food in the air. We're going to eat after the service. Gene cooked for us. There's some other things that some other people cooked, but I wanted to mention Gene because the Lord put it on our heart to make us a certain Pennsylvania Dutch soup, and she made it. And also, she fell down this week, but she still made it. So a lot of character there. She is doing okay. There's some trouble with her knee. We're going to pray for her all together right now. Are you guys good? Good. All right, so close your eyes, bow your head. Reach your hand out to whatever direction you think Jean is. And so, Father, we pray right now. We command that knee to come together exactly right in Jesus' name. Every wound to close, every bit of pain to go right now in Jesus' name. We speak to that body that it does not remember the trauma of the fall, that nothing's sore, nothing's stiff, and nothing's afraid. Right now, in Jesus' name, we command complete and total healing to Jean and her body. And right now, we go after the root of the problem that's causing her to fall. We pray strength for every muscle, bone. We pray that her equilibrium would be balanced right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for what a blessing she is to us. And we pray that even though she can't be here today, that your presence would surround her and love on her, and she would be aware of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So those of you that have her number, feel free to text or call. A couple of people now have called and prayed for her. If you want to do that, she's happy to receive that from you. Gap Ministry is collecting. We're partnering with Keystone Opportunity Center. We're looking for soap, laundry detergent, dish soap, toilet papers, paper, and apparently paper towels. Inside joke. Apparently paper towels.
Nobody will turn paper towels away.
No. So if you're bringing that in, a couple more weeks, pop it over there. That's not for you to take. That's for you to drop off. If you need some, let us know. We'll find something for you. All right, you ready? All right, so we don't pass the plate around here. The offering is in the back. If you brought something to give, hold it in your hand. I'm going to pray over it. You can put it in there whenever is convenient for you. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to partner with what you're doing here. We pray that you would multiply what's brought in, Lord, that you would give us creative ways to use it to reach the community for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So I'm going to continue on what our topics have been with communion, community, and commission. And this month, as I was kind of preparing for this, I heard a couple of things. The first thing I heard was actually to share something out of Matthew 6, where he's talking about store up for you treasures in heaven. And the other thing that I was hearing was encounters, the communion, the encounters. And, you know, both of them kind of fit. And I just kind of pressed into this a little bit more. And what I actually heard this week was I just heard the Lord say it's time for us to rest and return to our first love. And it just kind of, you know, when you hear that kind of stuff, you just kind of catches your interest a little bit. So I just kind of, you know, pressed into that a little bit, and it just kind of reminded me, I'm not going to say reminded me, we all have been through the last few years and how difficult things have been. You know, you don't really have to be reminded of all that stuff, you know. Well, the craziness with the COVID stuff that started a few years back, and, you know, the different variants that they were scaring us with, and people fighting over masks and fighting over vaccines and all that fun stuff that was going on. And, you know, then really was fitting with the stuff that we've heard about this week, you know, between Ukraine and Russia. And, you know, you have all that stuff on top of everyday life and over top of all the other normal stuff that we go through. You know, sometimes it takes our focus off of what's really important and focusing on God. And, you know, if we didn't have God, things I think would have been a whole lot worse these past 2 years dealing with all that stuff. But then, you know, he started showing me a couple other things where he's been moving these past few years also. You know, some of us have started businesses this past couple of years. Some of us started families, you know. Some of us thrived. Some of us never even had a day off of work. Some of us got busier at work. This is all ways that God's been moving. You know, we planted a church during all this stuff. And we're thriving. We're doing well. I mean, we keep getting bigger and bigger every week. And it's just, you know, God's still moving, even though there's all this stuff that's trying to take our focus off of that. You know, sometimes looking at how God has moved in your life a few, you know, these past few years can be a little bit overwhelming, you know, in a good way. But I think something that's very important to this church is encounters, is our own personal encounters with God. And I kind of went with that this week. So the Matthew 6 scripture is going to have to wait till another time. So I want to talk about encounters this week. I don't have a ton of scriptures that I pulled out. I usually like to use a lot of scripture, but I have a lot of examples that are from scripture. So there's a lot of scripture that talks about people having encounters with God. Some of them were highly favored, some were not. And I just kind of pulled a few out here. You know, Moses had this relationship and this encounter with God that we get the Torah from, the first five books of the Bible, and we get the Ten Commandments. And it was all about his obedience and his desire just to encounter God where he was and in what God was moving him to do. And, you know, we have Abraham, who, you know, his desire to encounter God, he became a father of many nations, the father of faith. And we have David, and you know, his trust and his encounter with God led him to be king. You know, and we have Paul, who you know, his situation's a little bit different. You know, he wasn't the nicest of person to Christians, but he had an encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus. And what has come from that is, you know, all the scripture and all these things that we get to learn and to read about. And there's, you know, there's countless examples that came from these encounters. And I believe the same thing goes for us. You know, we might not have these wild stories of encounters, of hearing these audible voices of God. Some of us do, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary to have those huge encounters. But I read Romans 2:11. It says, "For there is no partiality with God," or some versions say, "no respecter of persons with God." And, you know, when I read that, and I hear that, then I start to believe what he's done for one person, he's willing to do for me, and he's willing to do for you. Yeah. Right? Actually, I think I'm going to do this part now. A while ago, I just came across the video, I think it was on YouTube, about a guy who was giving tips and stuff to to how to talk to people that are unbelievers or atheists or, you know, whatever you want to call them. And I want to show you just a very small part of this, what this example was, right? And he drew this circle. He said, just imagine inside of this circle is all the wisdom, all the knowledge of the entire world. Everything, from generations to generations, everything. And he said, how much of that do you think you have in your brain? And I'm going to be generous, and I'm going to make a big dot so we can see it. So we're all geniuses, okay? We're all really super smart. And he said, you're going to find God outside of that. Outside of your wisdom, outside of your knowledge, outside of your experiences. And, you know, it just stuck with me because there's so much truth to that. You know, and when we desire to encounter God, it's a whole lot easier to get outside of that, to encounter him. You know, so how do we do this? How do we encounter, you know, his presence? How do we get deeper into his love? And the first thing that I have written down is start by having a process. You know, I think we all might have a process, or maybe even in the middle of creating a process of what works. You know, Jesus had a process. And by that process, what I'm talking about, something that helps you seek him more, helps you get into his presence, helps you worship music. I mean, I was all messed up this morning. You know, I'm pretty sure I had a small encounter. It's like many of you probably had these small encounters. Sometimes it's that worship music that does it. Sometimes it's walking out in nature and praying and getting into something that draws your attention away from everyday life and the things that are going on, so you can just seek him and be in his presence. And let's see, you know, scripture talks about the prayer closet, you know, that type of a situation. And you know, I was reading some scriptures just last night on this, and you know, Jesus loved to go to the mountain to pray. And there's a lot of several scriptures throughout the Gospels that shows that Jesus went to the mountain to pray by himself. And in Mark 1:35-37, it says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon Peter and his companions searched everywhere looking for him anxiously. And they found him, and they said, everybody's looking for you. Jesus sometimes had to sneak away. And it's okay if we have to sneak away. It's okay if we got a lot of stuff going on right now, and you just need that time to just sneak away. Sneak away. It's okay. It's just going to draw you closer to him, taking that time. And, you know, when you figure out what works, what helps you getting into that place of communion, just do it, and do it often. Doing as often as you possibly can. But don't let that process become more important than the encounter. Don't let it be the only way that you can encounter. If you need to start somewhere, just start somewhere that works for you. And things will grow from there. So there's a couple of scriptures here that I do want to pull up that I want to talk about. And the first one is out of Psalms 100, verse 4. And it kind of gives us a little bit of insight on how to enter into his presence and into that place of communion with God. And it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And the second scripture is Matthew 6:7-8. And says, when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And I pulled a Passion Translation of Psalms. And it says, you can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. And when we enter in, you know, what if we just take this time that when we enter in to our communion and into our, you know, his presence and into our prayer closets, what if we just go in without an agenda? You know, it says, you know, just spend time with him. It says to enter his gates, we are thankful, and to enter his courts, we praise him. You know, what if we just did that? We enter his kingdom with thankfulness, his gates, and we enter his presence, or his courts, with praise. And it says that he already knows what we need before we ask. What we need before we ask, not what we want. Sometimes there is a difference. And, you know, when we enter into that communion, that relationship with him, you know, what we need is him. You know, he is going to be the answer. And there's nothing else. It's him. You know, our alone time with him, you know, I feel isn't to sit there and plead and to beg for things and you know, to change other people or to do this or to do that. You know, there's a time and place to intercede and to pray those types of things. But, you know, it's just to meet him and to for both of you to enjoy one another. You know, you can talk about him, what your concerns are and what's going on in your heart. But, you know, what if we just breathe a little bit and just spent time with him? You know, we shifted that prayer to just wanting to be with him instead of what we need. You know, I'm sure when you have that type of relationship with God, your answers are going to be given to you anyway. You know, growing up, you know, with church and certain things that you hear, have you ever heard people say that that God speaks in a still, small voice? Or a whisper. You ever hear anybody say that kind of stuff, right? It's actually a reference to 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13. I pulled that up. So it says, so he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and powerful wind was tearing out the mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle blowing. Some other versions say a still small voice, the sound of a low whisper, a gentle whisper, a soft whisper, or a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard this whisper, this sound, he wrapped his face in his mantle or his cloak and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing, Elijah? You know, there's another encounter. What I've heard, what I hear sometimes is, you know, when you're seeking that type of intimacy, And you're in that place and you're praying and you got a lot of things on your heart, sometimes it's easier, probably all times, it's easier to hear a whisper when you're not the one doing all the talking. So there's one tip for you. Here's another tip that I had written down was, concerning with what I showed you here with this little example, sometimes when we get into that place, we need to quiet down what's in our head. We get to quiet down our knowledge. We get to quiet down our experiences. We got to quiet down the things that are going on in our hearts and in our minds right now. To that whisper is the loudest thing that we hear. Um, it's a lot easier said than done, but I think the more often you press into his presence and press into to being with him, the easier that's going to be, because your focus is going to be back on him, returning to him. So I'm going to close. Not very much I had for today, but today I want to close talking a little bit about communion, like the communion that we take as a church. Comes from Luke 22, 19 and 20, and says, "And he took bread," Jesus, "he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.' And Jesus said to do this in remembrance of me." And in Acts 2, 42 to 46, it says, "And they," the disciples, "they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread," communion, "and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together in all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread," or communion, "from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart." It says they came together daily. And I want to kind of challenge you guys to not just, you know, take this communion when church takes communion, but try taking communion every day. I always recommend starting your day with communion. You wake up and you enter into a place of thankfulness for what Jesus has done. You share in that body, you share in that blood, and you start your day that way. Try it for a week. See what it does. I've done it several times. You know, you can start for a week. You start for a couple weeks. Start for a month, or do it forever. Starting your day seeking his face and his presence is going to change your life. It's going to shift everything that happens throughout the day to be focused back on him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So if you guys want to stand, I'll pray, and then we can get to some fellowship and some Holy Spirit encounters with food out there and whatever we got going on. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for it being more of a desire in your heart to meet with us and to encounter with us. We just ask that you shift our hearts to seek you more, to understand you more, and just have that desire to be with you more. So all things that we do, everything, every day, every second of every day, becomes a joy and just to honor you and all that you have done. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away.